Welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good and all the time. And we also know and proclaim with our lives that Jesus Christ has given us three commands: to love God, love others, and go with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we do every day of our lives as we stay in His Word, stay with Him and Him in us, so too that we may live life outside of here in the newness of Christ Jesus with His Word in us. Today, the sermon I'm going to be preaching to you or teaching to you is called Renewing and Transforming. I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Romans, where we're going to be beginning. And I'm bringing this in Lent because, number one, this is a sermon scripture that most of us know, and it's used quite often by many, many people for different things. But I want us to look at it in the spirit of Lent. And why? Because as we are living our lives and we're doing this recounting going through Lent, and it's looking at ourselves and remembering who we are, and that's why we sang the songs that we did today, that no matter where we are, God is faithful. And in the faithfulness and the things that are hard and the things that are tough, it's not who the world says we are, because the world wants to knock us all down. Can I get an amen on that? The world wants us all to fail because we know who's in charge of this world. We fight not against flesh and blood, but against the powers and forces of this dark age, against the evil in heavenly places. And so we have to understand that, you know, we are who God says we are. And this is one of the things that I want us to understand is that God says we are something totally other than what we know of ourselves because of our nature, okay? You know, I was taught as a child, you can be anything you want to be, but the whole way through school, I was told all the time, you're never going to amount to anything. Does anybody else live that life? Isn't it kind of strange, okay? We live in a land where our forefathers said, you can become anything you want to become because it's all up to you and how you work with the Lord. But because we live in such an evil place, and by that I mean simply a sin-filled world, okay? There are some things we need to, and I love the way we put this because we all do, well, I just have to get over it. No, we have to get through it, okay? You can't go over it, you can't go under it, you can't go around it, you got to go through it. But the awesome part is Jesus Christ has gone through it. Amen, Miss Susan? And in that we have peace, knowing that He is the one guiding us. And since He knows how to get through it, wouldn't it be nice to know how to do it ourselves? So today, that's what we're going to be looking at in your Bibles, chapter 12, book of Romans, verse 1 and 2. It says, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Now, for the past 3 weeks, I haven't had notes. But today, there's so much I have to say that I had to write notes. And I feel inadequate because the Lord has truly been moving me to this point of saying, Rich, do you trust me? Do you trust me? Just give me your tongue. Give me your voice. Do your study and then let me work in you. But I'm still human. How many of you out there are still human? Yeah. And sometimes I have to write things down. Sometimes I have to remember. And that's really what this scripture here is reminding us all of. That we need to constantly remember that we are being transformed by the renewing of our minds in Christ Jesus. What is our nature? Our nature is what we do by default. How many of us have a good default setting? Okay? And it's funny because I'm thinking of computer language here, okay? We all have the default settings. They come from factory, all right? So too do you and I. It comes from the time we were born, and it's the things that have been set into us to get us here, okay? Now, I can look out at several of you out here, and I can remember having the conversations with you, and you would say to me, well, I don't ever want to be like my parents. I don't want to be like, and I hear you, I hear you, I hear you, but when you look in the mirror, who do you see? Am I lying or what? No, it's... But we've got to be renewed because those people, yes, there are earthly parents, but we have a heavenly parent that is above it all. Can I get an amen? And he is holy, perfect. Amen? And that's who he says we need to be. So that means we have to rewire this thing. And that means we need to take notes. We need to get into this and really chew it up and tear it up and bring it in. That way we can prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. You know, I've heard it preached that God has three wills. He has a good will, an acceptable will, and a perfect will. No, God has one will. It's good, it's acceptable, and it's perfect. You can't improve upon it because he is perfection. Can we get an amen in the house? And in that, that's where he wants us to walk. How many of you are a work in progress? I'm going to tell you right now, until the day I stop walking, I pray I'm in progress. Because the day I park this car, I think it's over. But until that day, I will wait. Because I'm going to tell you right now, we are not in idle. I have this sucker in drive and low gear because I want to get there. I may not go fast, but I'm going to get there. Can I get an amen out of somebody? Because God doesn't need us to be speed demons. He needs us to be moving on purpose. And that means thinking about who we are and what we are. And it kind of amazes me. Our old nature is actually opposed to the will of God. How many of you realize that? Our sin nature is opposed to God. Doesn't want anything to do with God. So if we resort to our defaults, how many of us in our default setting put up all our defenses? That is our default setting. We put up our defenses. Well, we not only put them up towards the things of the world, you know, the things that are coming at us, but we put them up towards God because that's strange. That's different. Okay? You know, I don't just love everybody. If you're hurting me, I'm certainly not going to love you. Well, let me tell you what. You don't have to like everybody, but you do have to love everybody. Is there a difference? Yes, there is a difference, okay? I love you all, and I pray you all love me. But I know there's a lady in this congregation that loves me more than any of the rest of you, but there are days she does not like me. And for good reason. Because I, too, am a fallen man, okay? Can y'all relate to what I'm trying to say here? Because what we have to do is constantly remember to be transformed. That's why, you know, take notes. Take notes. Write this stuff down. Because we need to understand that if our nature is truly opposed to God, that's why verse 1 is here. I'm dealing with verse 2, but do you realize verse 2 makes absolutely no sense without verse 1? Because one of the first things we have to do is take control of this body. Because this body has things that it wants us to do. I have a mind that wants to act. I have a will that wants to go. I have the different portions of my person that want the things that it wants because of my old nature. But what I need to do is take it all under control in Christ Jesus. Amen, church? And that's only going to happen as we remember when this thing comes up, and normally my anger comes up, I got to put it down. When this thing comes up and the lust of my eyes takes control, I got to put it down. I've got to remember who I am. I got to remember who God says I am. And I got to remember that in the midst of this trial, he is faithful, that no matter what come my way, he is going to make a way that's through it that I don't even understand. Can I get an amen out of the church? You and I need to understand God is here to transform our minds by the renewing thereof, that we are learning something new. And I think it's one of the most amazing things. You know, I love seeing our young people out here in the church Because when I see the young people out here in the church, they look at us as older folks and, you know, we don't know what we're doing. They got all the answers. Children, you don't even know the questions to ask. And how do I know that? Because neither do we. But we're old enough and mature enough to admit it. Can I get an amen out of the church? So we got to go back to the Father and be renewed daily, daily, daily. And it's in that renewing of our minds that we're transformed. And all of a sudden, we don't need those old defaults anymore. We can go in there and change the parameters. How many of you like getting into your computer and changing parameters? How many of you have ever done that and you got the blue screen of death? Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? That's one of the reasons we don't do it in our spiritual walk, because we're afraid we're going to mess up. Praise Jesus, because I'm going to tell you right now, you know, it says a righteous man falleth seven times, but a unrighteous man falleth once unto destruction. I think that is one of the most amazing things, because you know, you can't fall if you're laying down, can you? You can only fall from standing up. So I think it's kind of an amazing thing when you think about it. A person who is in their own nature, in their sin nature, they're not up, are they, Miss Susan? They're already down. It says you fall once, and they fell at birth, so they never get up. But what's it say about a righteous man? A righteous man falleth seven times. Well, what does that insinuate? That we get up. And how do we get up? By the renewing of our minds. For Christ Jesus has set us free. And we're going to fall down again. Big deal. How many of us know what it's like to train up a child? I'm telling you right now, I think it's one of the most amazing things. We're watching grandchild number three. And he's in one of the bouncy thingies. You know what I mean? It's got the six wheels on it and goes all over the place. And so he's getting ready to walk. And we all know he's going to fall down, isn't he? And he's going to get back up, and he's going to fall down. He's going to get back up, and he's going to fall down. He's going to get back, and one day he's going to get up, and ain't never going to stop, because that's where we are in our lives. Because every time we fall down, who picks us up? Jesus Christ picks us up. But he's only going to pick us up if we believe that we can put these things behind us and move forward. That's the renewing of our minds, to be transformed. That's why we need to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to the Lord. Because as we realize this broken body, this fallen stuff falls down, but through the grace and power of Jesus Christ, we can get back up. We have something to go on and go forward to, because he has a hope and a future out there for each and every one of us. Jeremiah 29:11. And that hope and that future is not to harm us, but to give us the prosperity of Jesus Christ. And that does not mean money in your bank account. That means life eternal. Can I get an amen from the church? We are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ, and we are children of the King. We are heirs to the promise, and we are heirs to the throne of glory. And in that we stand and have our being. So don't let the world get you down. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And in that, you're going to live a new life. We need to understand that God wants us to live in Christ, outside of the sin nature and in the redemptive nature of our Lord and Savior, that through him we have life and life abundant. No matter what the world throws at you, how many of us realize if by the reason of God we have one more day to go? You know, I lay my head down every night and I say, you know, how many of you say the prayer, Lord, I lay me down to sleep. I pray my soul that you shall keep. If I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. You know, that's the little prayer we all prayed when we were little kids, remember? But the reality is, isn't that what we pray? But in the morning when you wake up, what do you say? I don't know where you are in this, but man, when I wake up every morning, I wake up and I say, good morning, Lord. What's going to happen today? And you know, that's one of the things I love, especially on Sunday, because I know what's going to happen on Sunday. I'm going to get to see all your bright and shining, loving faces. And in that, I get to hear how things have been going for you. Have you ever noticed the buzz downstairs in the mornings when we have our koinonia time? Ryan said we need a big broom. I looked at him and I said, what for? He said, to sweep those people out from down there and get them up here. It just so amazes me. When we're down there having that fellowship, how much life is there, folks? How much hope is there, folks? You know, it's not just goodies that are down there. It's the goodness of the Lord. And it's in that that we're sharing and living, and it's life abundant and full. You know, I think it's amazing. We have so much that we need to share with one another. And I'm gonna trust us. Somebody does share something here today. We'll see. Turn in your Bibles to Corinthians chapter 5. Because I want us to understand the depths of where God wants us to take us and just how much it means. Because we need to learn the new. 2 Corinthians. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians chapter 5. It's just two little verses that I want us to begin with here. And if you note, there's four different verses that we're going to be going to today. And from the 17th verse in the fifth chapter of the book of 2 Corinthians, we read these words. For he tells us, therefore, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. You and I are a new being. We are not to turn back to our default settings. God has rewritten the program of our lives. He has given us a new meaning, a new purpose, so we are no longer running on Windows 7. We are on Windows Jesus. Can I get an amen? Because in Christ Jesus, we are changed forever, and he keeps updating that program. As we move forward with him, he keeps downloading more of the good stuff into our lives. But we have to take the reality that what we have been given is the way that we are to live. Now, there are going to be people out there that are going to drag you down. And I'm talking to my young folks here pretty much again. You know, some of us older folks need to hear this stuff because we still fall to it. But in life, you're going to have people that are going to try and take you away from this church. It's one of the things that I hate to see as a pastor. We'll have young people here until they hit college age. Then they hit college age and they go off to school. And the next thing you know, we don't see them ever again. Because they go to school and they get all smarted up. I had an elder years ago when I went to college. And he said to me, he said, Rich, he said, I know you're going off to smart school. He says, but if you come back being dumb, I'm going to kick you in the, and he said the word. And he said it at our consistory meeting in front of everybody the week I was getting ready to go off to college. I was already the associate pastor of the church, and now I'm starting full-time college. And I was like, what? What? I'm going to a Christian college. You know, what do you mean they're going to pull the smart out of me and fill it with dumb? You know, that's literally what he was saying. He said, just watch. He said, you're going to go to school. He said, you're going to get so smart. He said, you're going to lose all common sense. And isn't that a reality? Because we fill ourselves with the minds that these professors want us to have. We fill our minds with this stuff from academia. But one of the things that we need to remember is those things come against the very basic principles of Jesus Christ. Not that they're supposed to, but because sinful people were teaching them. It happens all over in our world. How many of us realize that even in our jobs, as we who are older, that when we're in there, we're told to do some things that are a little questionable? Oh, well, don't worry about that. You know, just push that out of the way. Nobody will see that. Excuse me, you're seeing it and God's seeing it. So that means there's somebody seeing it. Right is right and wrong is wrong. Can I get an amen? And we need to walk in the right no matter what it's going to cost us, because we know what it cost Christ on our behalf. So there are times when we need to choose other than what our friends are leading us to. Because if your friends are leading you to things that are questionable, they're not your friends. They're actually your enemy. And if our employer is asking us to do something that's less than righteous, do you really want to work for that person or that place? Yeah, but Pastor, you're telling me I need to sacrifice. Yep. You see, that's the way it works. We either walk by the transforming and renewing of our minds and our lives, or we walk in the world. You can't have a foot in both sides. How many of you know that's the church of Laodicea? And what did God say to the church in Laodicea? I'm getting ready to spit you out of my mouth. And I think it's amazing, because you know what that word spit there actually means? Do you know what it actually translates to? Miss Dottie got it. I am about to vomit you out of my mouth. We are talking projectile vomiting. It is that distasteful to God. And we need to understand that that's how distasteful these things in this world need to be to us. Yeah, but you don't understand the peer pressure. I'm 63 years old. You don't think I don't understand peer pressure? Been through it already. Now, yes, times are a little different, and we understand that. We realize that there's a whole lot more evil than when we were kids. Can I get an amen? Man, life was simple when I was a kid. So much simpler. But it's hard for everybody, no matter what age you're in, because that's all we ever knew back then. So the tough things were still tough. You kids, you knew how to run computers when you were 5 years old. I'm 63, and I still don't know how to do it. The level of intelligence has gone up with technology, but so too has the amount of evil. And we need to understand they play hand in hand, because technology can be good, but it can also be evil. Can I get an amen? And you and I need to understand that it's here for us to utilize, but not to be controlled by. And when you start falling to some of these things, that's exactly what begins to happen. And all of a sudden, your body is no longer a place that is a sacrifice or an offering unto the Lord, because you've pulled yourself away from Him. And we need to get ourselves back, because God is bringing these things to reconcile us to Him through the ministry of reconciliation. To be reconciled is to come to Him, to take His mind into ourselves. Okay, that's what it means to be reconciled unto God. That we are taking His mind into ourselves, that we may become the image of Christ Jesus. So today I want you to think about, what does that really look like? How do I work this out, Lord? What are the things that I need to do? Because I'm going to tell you, if you begin walking in this world and you allow people in this world to distract you from the life of Christ, you're going to compromise all kinds of stuff. How many of us do that now? We don't like to admit that stuff, but we do. That's one of the things I like about our church. Is the simple fact that we're not afraid to call ourselves hypocrites, are we? We see that we are what? Sinners saved by grace. Will you say that with me? Sinners saved by grace. And we walk in the grace of Jesus Christ, knowing when we've fallen and turning to the truth of Christ. Because only He can save us. So what does that turning look like? What does that reconciliation look like? Turn in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 4. Just a few pages beyond, Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to be in 17 through 27. through 27 in chapter 4, from the 17th verse, thus saith the word of the Lord. So this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardening of their hearts, and they have become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you did not learn Christ in this way, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in him, Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of truth. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. You and I need to understand here that as we walk with the Lord, that we're no longer to turn back to these things, but we're to look forward, we're to look into the life of Christ and be that example. And it's going to be tough. How many of you still find it to be tough to make every decision the way the Lord wants you to make it? You know, we're being honest here, right? If there's one place we can all be honest, it better be in the church. Because I'm not here to pretend. I'm here to tell you we're all messed up. But we have a Savior who has a direction, because he is the way, the truth, and the life. And everyone who comes to him will find the way to the Father. Can I get an amen? And that's where we walk, and that's where we have our being. You know, I've been trying at this for 63 years, and I'm not done trying. I got further to go, and I pray you do too. And it's understanding that, you know, in my mind, you know, and I love this, you know, I always thought to myself, you know, well, why does it say that, you know, we're in our anger, we're not supposed to sin? Well, folks, is it okay to get angry? Yeah, it's very okay to get angry. But don't let your anger become a reaction. Let your anger be a response, which means you need to be responsible for what you do in your anger, okay? Many times in our world, people get angry, they get upset. How many of you have seen the shootings and all the different things that have been going on here of late? You know, I think it's amazing, because mainstream media doesn't talk about some of this stuff, because, you know, it's really getting ugly out there. And they don't want to talk about it because they're realizing that, oh my goodness, this isn't part of our agenda. You know, if we let the world know that these things are going on, they're going to see just how messed up things really are. How many of us know things are messed up? How many of you out there on the internet know things are messed up? You better believe it. So we have got to walk, and we've got to take the time to look at the Lord and ask him, you know, who am I supposed to be? What am I supposed to look like? And in my anger, I am not supposed to sin. And I'm not to allow the sun to set on my anger. Why? Because it's going to direct your paths. And that is not only anger, but that is all the things of our old life. If we allow it one time, we're going to allow it again and again and again. And again, the Lord says, a righteous man falleth seven times. So it's remembering, how many of us are going to get it right the first time? We're going to go through it until it becomes our nature. That's how you get rewired. That is how you get renewed. That is how you become transformed. How many of you realize it took years for your parents to make you the person that you are? You didn't learn the things from your parents in one day. How long did you live with your parents? For years. And they taught you the same thing over and over and over and over again. You know, my mom used to tell me this all the time. I'm your mother, you do as I say. And I can remember being 14 years old and I had to run out of the house because I looked at my mom and I said, but you don't do what you tell me to do. Man, that was the wrong thing to tell y'all mama. Because y'all mama knows what right is, and that was not right. Even though she wasn't, she wanted me to be. And I'm learning now in my old age, too, that I know you're not going to get this right today or tomorrow. But as we practice this truth, as we allow the transformation to come through the renewing of our minds, we will take on the image of Christ more and more as we go. Because I'm going to tell you right now, is this that we're learning, is this for a short time? You know, what's the purpose that it's supposed to be for? Does anybody know? It's called eternity. It takes us 18 years living with our parents to become a legal adult. How many of you got it right when you were 18? Thank you. There's not one hand in the air right now. How many of you got it right where you're sitting now? That's awesome. There's still not one hand in the air. How many of you know you'll get it right when you're on the other side and in the face of Jesus Christ? And only by his grace and transformative love, amen? Because he will instantly transform us. For we all shall be called up in the twinkling of an eye, and we shall be what? Changed. And we will be holy in a moment. What a day that'll be. But until then, we're to be that work in progress, moving daily, daily, daily. And we don't give the devil an opportunity. That's why we cannot allow the sun to go down on our anger. Because if the devil gets in there, he can turn this thing, twist it, and begin it to rot. And it becomes a cancer within us. And it'll become something that will consume us. And in that, we need to understand God's perfect will. Turn to our last scriptures this day, which is Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. From Colossians chapter 3, beginning in the 5th verse to the 14th verse. From Colossians in chapter 3, 5 through 14. He speaks to us here through the power of his Holy Spirit, and he says to us, and I love this, because the word therefore, what is it there for? To tie it together. Therefore, remembering what we've said, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also once walked when you were living in them. But now you also put them all aside. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on a new self who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him, a renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free man, but Christ is all and in all. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, woo, that's the transformation. Put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Can I get an amen out of the word? That's why our church follows the commands of Christ. And what did he say to do? Love God, love others, and go with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because it is the power of love to transform our beings into that which is pure, that which is right, that which is good. Because those things, there is only one good. And who is that, dear brothers and sisters? God. There was only one good. When the teachers looked at Jesus and said, "Good teacher," what did Jesus tell the teachers? There is only one who is good, and that is God. And we know Jesus is God. Can I get an amen? So in that, may we follow his example and do that which Christ has called us to, that we may live that life worthy of the calling to which we have been called, understanding. And I think this is neat, because how many of you get this? What's verse 11 say? Let's read verse 11 again. We live in a renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and free man, but Christ is all and in all. What does that mean? Here it's talking about different nationalities. It's talking about different levels, different classes of people, isn't it? What's that mean to us today? How does that apply to our lives today? There is no Republican, there is no Democrat, there is no liberal, there is no conservative. There is no Muslim, there is no Christian, there is no Buddhist, there is no LGBTQ, there is no straight, there is no cis, there is no, because guess what? All of us are human beings, and we all fall to the Creator, who is God the Father, Christ the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Can I get an amen? We need to realize we put these labels on. In Christ Jesus, he sees us all as we are. We are created by him for his purposes. And we need to allow the stuff of this world to be washed away. I've told you so many times before, I don't care who comes in that door. You can come in with purple hair. You can come in with blue hair. You can come in with gray hair. You can come in with red hair. You can come in with orange hair. You can come in with more hardware in your face than Lowe's, and I'm still going to love you. Can I get an amen? Because I don't care what you look like coming in. What I care is who you look like going out. Because I'll guarantee you, when I came into this place, I didn't look like this. But when I leave this place, I pray to be the image of Jesus Christ. How many of you can say amen to that? You see, folks, we don't realize just how much. How many of us are all upset with all the things that we're seeing on the internet right now? All the stuff that's coming out at us. And we're saying, well, those people and those people and those people and those people. You know, you need to look in the mirror when you're pointing those fingers. Because you used to be one of those people. And in fact, you still are. Because you've not allowed God to rewrite the whole program. And guess who else is? Yeah, we're all in the same boat. And we need to call on the one who can calm the storm. Can I get an amen? And in that, live and have our being and understand that until we die, until we meet Christ, our goal is to be transformed, to be renewed every day, and to be the loving grace of God that he has portioned unto us. Now, how many of you know that there are some people out there that need a whole lot of grace? And every time you look in the mirror, I pray that you remember you are one. Because are we not that one who has received it? And in that may we walk and have our being. Now, does that mean we give excuses to these people? Or these creatures, because some of them are creatures. I hope you all understand that. Do you understand what I mean by when I say that? Because some are portioned unto perdition. There's nothing we're going to do with that. You know, I hate to say it, but the Nephilim are yet among us. So we need to watch, because there are some evil creatures out here in this world. But there are also people who need the love and the hope of Jesus Christ. And if you, like me, can say it, may you. Yes, I are one. Lord, save my soul. Move in my heart. Transform me, that I may help guide others to you. During this season of Lent, I want us to think, just how far have we come in our transformation? How much more renewal do we need? And how many of us need to get over some things in our lives that our parents taught us that we need to let go of? We love our parents, don't we? We do. Even when they were mean to us. I mean, let's face it, some of us had ugly parents. And, you know, I mean that in a physical, spiritual sense. Because that's the way it was between me and my dad. And you know what? My name's Richard Jr. No better than him. But may I work to be who God says I am and hold fast to that truth. And may you work it too. Because in that, we'll find the hope of glory and we'll walk in the abundance of life in Christ Jesus. Would you pray with me? Father God, we thank you for this word. Because Lord, we've got a long way to go. But it's okay, because we know you're going to get us through. As we work with you and we submit ourselves to be renewed through the transformation of our lives and the renewing of our minds, may you guide us into your truth, and may we truly, truly apportion it to our hearts to be changed from glory to ever-increasing glory. And let us not judge others unto the salvation of their souls, but let us bring the opportunity of heaven before them. And Father, may you speak to them through us. And may they see your image in us. And may your hope wash over us all, both now and forevermore. And the church says, and amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can locate us on the web at theheartofchristchurch.com. There you will find many useful links to contact us or donate to our ministry, where it is our mission to love God, love others, and go.